Psalms 119, verse 140, and I'm reading from the Bible that Mom and Dad got me May the 9th, 1970. And I read this Bible through six times years ago. The first year I got saved, I read the Bible through twice. Why? It took that for me to make it. Can I say it like that? I just needed it. I was very young, a lot of temptations, a lot of pressures, and I needed the Word of God. It's power in this thing. There's encouragement in this thing. There's strength. There's comfort. Anything you need is right here in this Word of God. The answer to every question, the need for every problem that you have, it's in this book. You don't have to run all over the neighborhood to this one or that one. That's all right. If you want to do that, fine. But right here is the jewels of great price, nuggets of gold, and the answer for you. Psalm 119, verse 140. If I may say before I start, I'm glad that Sister Huff came tonight. Can I say this? And every one of you are way better than me, and I feel very small. But I feel very small in Sister Huff's presence. Her past, her ministry, her and Brother Huff, I'm honored. Sister Huff, I'm honored that you're here tonight. All right. Well, I better get my verse read or I'll never get through tonight. I got two Bibles up here. Hang on tonight. I know Brother Gilpin turned me loose pretty quick. He knows me. He knows me. I got my wife back there. She's going to do that if I get too long. All right. I know you've got your verse there. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Isn't that great? It's just one verse. Let me read it again. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. The Bible has been precious to me down through the years. Every time that I needed direction or the will of God for my life, I would always go to the Word of God. Every time I would go to the Word of God. A tribute to the Bible. God's Word is the traveler's map, the pilot's compass, the pilgrim's staff, the soldier's sword, and the believer's log. The Bible contains the light to direct ye, comfort to console ye, food to sustain ye, wisdom to teach you, and far to warm you. The Bible reveals the mind of God, the state of man, and the way of salvation. Its author is God. Its writers were men. It's inspired. It's alive. It is given to you in life. It's opened in judgment and will endure forever. It's a mind of wealth. It's a river of pleasure, a paradise of glory. God's glory is its end. The Lord Jesus Christ is its wonderful object, and our good is its design. Here heaven opens, paradise restored, heaven's gates are disclosed, its doctrines are holy, its precepts binding. Read it thoughtfully, read it prayerfully, read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy, and memorize it to grow. I'll not turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23, and then also in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I think chapter 35, and I'll not turn there. If you ever get an opportunity, read those chapters in the Old Testament. You talk about something that will lift you and encourage you. It tells about, in those verses of Scripture, about a young boy named Josiah. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 31 years. In the 18th year of his reign, here's what he did. He found the book. He found the Bible. He found the Word of God, which was probably Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I think it was his high priest that found the book in the temple. Now, I don't know how long that had been lost or been hid, but I do know that the two kings before Josiah were very wicked and very evil. So the Word of God, what they had, it was lost. It was lost. And sometimes we can find ourselves maybe not losing the Word of God, or the Word of God is lost, but we can neglect it. We can get slothful and not read it and not study it and not let it lead us and guide us. A few years ago, Joanna had a cat named Tiger. She had it for 15 years and it died. And as we buried that cat, we put a little supposed to be a tombstone, but it really don't look like a tombstone. But on that little, what we have there, the writing is, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." A few days ago, Joanna had another cat named Aquila. She had it for 12 years, and it died. And we buried that cat next to the Tiger, and I sing that same little writing there. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I thought, well, Lord, that's just as good enough to preach on as anything. And that's where I got this little message about preaching on the Word of God. Did you know tears run down my cheek about that old cat? I never did like cats, but I like that one. I like that one. And Aquila, although she's gone, she gave me a message to preach on tonight. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." So, the scribe, the teacher, read this law that he had found unto King Josiah. And I want you to listen what happened to this young man when he found the book. And that's what I want to try to preach on tonight, the Word of God and finding the book. It's alive. You don't have to preach and you don't have to teach on picky things. If you'll just stay with the book, there's enough power in this book, in this Word of God, that will convict and encourage and help people. But when King Josiah heard the reading, and they say it was probably in Deuteronomy, maybe 27, 28, 29, in Deuteronomy, that he heard. The Bible says that he rent his clothes. I mean, you talking about conviction come on this young man. And he found the book when he was 18. Not at 8 years old, but when he was 18, he found the book. He rent his clothes. Listen to what he did. He commanded that his officials inquire of the Lord about whether the Lord was going to destroy Judah, as the book had said. He humbled himself before the Lord. He gathered the elders together. He had all the people come to the house of the Lord. And King Josiah, not somebody else, read all the covenant of the book to them. The next thing he did, he made a covenant to walk before the Lord. What about this? In his 18th year of his reign, he took away all the abominations from the areas surrounding Israel. You're talking about a change in his life. Why? Because of the book. Not because somebody was telling him what to do, or he didn't do it because the church did it that way, but he made the change because of the book. Just give me a little time here. Also, in chapter 35 of 2 Chronicles, the same story, the same scriptures, the Bible says he kept the Passover. He gave thousands of animals to the people for their sacrifices. You go back to 2 Kings chapter 23, you will find this. Listen to what he did. He burned idols. He put down idolatry priest. He burned grove and cast the powder on graves. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites. He broke down high places. He stopped the children from being sacrificed. Sometimes the parents would have their children walk through the fire. And King Josiah stopped that. He took away horses which the kings of Judah gave to the sun for worship and burnt the chariots. He cast down altars to false gods. He cast down high places. Also, he broke down altars that was used to worship other gods. He broke down high places. He broke images. He cut down groves. He filled places with bones. He broke down altars and high places at Bethel. He burned the bones of false prophets. And I like that one. He burned the bones of false prophets. He took away houses of high places in Samaria. He slew the priest and burned their bones. What about that? He slew the priest and burned their bones. He cleansed the land of wizards, those who worked with familiar spirits, images, and idols. The Bible said that he turned to the Lord with all of his heart, soul, and mind. And I thought when he found the law, what it did for this man called Josiah. Also, we find that the Bible is inspired by God in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We find that the Bible is made up of 66 different books that were written over 1,600 years, between 1500 B.C. to A.D. 100, by more than 40 kings, prophets, leaders, and followers of Jesus. The Old Testament has 39 books written between 1500 to 400 B.C. The New Testament has 27 books written approximately A.D. 45 to 100. The Old Testament was written mainly in Hebrew. Some in the New Testament was written in Greek. Before the printing press was invented, the Bible was copied by hand. There was much evidence that the Bible we have today is remarkably true to the original writings. Of the thousands of copies made by hand before A.D. 1500, more than 5,300 Greek manuscripts from the New Testament alone still exist today. Some early translators were persecuted, tortured, and even burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English. The Bible was the first book ever printed on the printing press with movable type. And that was 1455 with the Latin Bible. And of course, we know about the Dead Sea Scrolls. So I thought about the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Some other things that I found out about the Word of God. The Word of the Lord, those four words, is mentioned 240 times in the Old Testament, 13 times in the New Testament. The Word of God, those three words, is mentioned 3 times in the Old Testament and 44 times in the New Testament. The longest word in the Bible, not only word but a name, is in Isaiah 8:1. It has 18 letters. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible, 929 in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. I might have mentioned that a while ago. I like this one right here. There's 31,200 verses in the Bible. It's 85 verses a day for 365 days in a year. And I thought to myself, there's no reason, there's no excuse that we should be discouraged or down or bothered or troubled or stressed out when we got 85 verses a day of God's powerful and holy word. I was thinking about William Tyndale today, October the 6th, 1536, after nearly 17 months in prison. He was strangled and then burned at the stake. And here's what he said, he was dying. He said, "Lord, open the king's eyes. Open the king of England's eyes that he might see." And there he gave his life. And you know, 3 years later, King Henry VIII made an order that the Bible be written, the English Bible would be written, the great Bible. So I thought about those things as I got to thinking about this message today. And I thought about the United States of America. The United States of America. And I thought about the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. As I thought about that Pledge of Allegiance today, I thought about that great American flag and this great country. I thought somewhere along the way, years ago, because of sin, because of wickedness, because of evil, because of pleasure, because of entertainment, because of this worldliness, some way, somehow, the United States of America has lost the book. They have neglected the book. And then I thought about the church world. And I'm sure I'm not preaching to anybody here tonight, because you got a good church, you got good people here, precious people, that I'm privileged tonight to stand before and do my little part. But I thought about the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, our Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And I thought about the Christian church who we're a part of tonight. And I thought about, I know if it wasn't for the church, no telling what this country would be like tonight. I believe we're probably, the prayers of God's people, probably what holding this thing together. It wasn't for God's people tonight, the church, the glorious church that has their heart and mind set on God and have their face set toward eternity. If it wasn't for the church, I don't know what in the world we would do in America tonight. It's holding together through our prayers. But I thought maybe somewhere, some way along the line, maybe we have neglected this powerful word of God. Seemed like sometime maybe even myself, I've went through times where I didn't read as much. I didn't study as much. I didn't have my mind on the heart, my heart on the Word of God like I should. And I would neglect it. And I would find myself slothful and lazy about reading the Word of God. And I would find myself slipping away. So I wonder tonight, as I preach this message to you tonight, have we forgotten? Have we neglected? Have we lost the Word of God? Oh, there's power in this thing. Every decision in my life has been directed by the Word of God. When I was a boy, I remember I'd watch the cows. I was raised on a farm, And I'd watch them when I was a little boy, and they'd you know, reach down there and get them some grass to eat, and then they would chew on that, and they would chew on that, and I just watched them, and they wouldn't go back down for more grass. They just kept on chewing. And I began to wonder why in the world, what are they chewing on? I mean, been chewing on it for 15 minutes, but I got to learning a little bit about a cow. You know, they'll chew that grass, and then they'll swallow it, and after a while, they'll bring it back up, chew on it some more. Now they chew on a cud, too. I don't know where some of you young people may not know that, but they chew on the cud. And that's what we need to do. We need to chew on the cud. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need the Word of God not only to hear it, but we need to chew on it and then let it go down and then bring it back up and chew on it again. And then I was thinking about the great people that I know, that a little bit about them, how they memorized Scripture. Was it Fanny Crosby that memorized a lot of Scripture? And I'm sure a lot of you know about Bill Gothard. I mean, he memorized Scripture, whole books in the Bible, Scripture, memorizing Scripture. I mean, there's power in the Word. You can't beat it. I enjoy singing. I enjoy shouting. I enjoy all these things that we enjoy. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is what we need. Amen. Memorizing Scripture. I remember one time at Sand Gap Holiness Church years ago, I was preparing, trying to memorize chapter 6 of Romans, because Bill Gothard said that's the chapter you need to memorize. Well, I tried that, and I got up that night, and I believe I went all over the place, and I never did get it quite right. But anyway, that's what we need to do, is memorize Scripture. Amen. In Matthew 4, every time when the devil came against Jesus, he always come back at him with the Word of God. Every time. Psalms 119, where I got my text. Every verse, 176 verses in that Psalm 119. And every one of them, one way or another, deals with the Word of God. The Word of God. David said, the Word of God is better to me than gold or silver. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3 and 7. I hope I don't go too fast, but I've got to move on with this if you don't mind. 2 Timothy 3 and 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We must read this precious Word of God. My grandmother on my mom's side, in her lifetime, 94 years, she read the Bible 90 times. Oh, I'm going to tell you, she not only read it, she slept with it. She slept with the Word of God right beside her. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's power in this Word to change a young man named Josiah, to make all those changes in his life and in the nation of Judah. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's power in this thing. There's more power than we realize in this Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 50 talks about study. Study this Word. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. I remember before I got married, when I'd go somewhere where it was out to eat or wherever I'd go, I didn't go much before I got married. But anyway, when I would go, I'd put the Word of God right here, right there next to me. I'd put that precious book right next to me as I drove down the highway. I mean the book. I found the book. And that's the answer to this nation's problems. That's the answer to every problem in this world, whatever it is. right there in the book. Hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling just a little bit better. Just a little bit. It takes the anointing. It takes the Spirit, the power of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I love that. Those verses there in Deuteronomy where it talks, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And it talks about diligently teach your children the Word of God. He said when you get up, when you walk by the way, when you go to bed, whatever you do, teach your children the Word of God. And also says right there, write the Word of God on the post of your house. Write the Word of God on the gates of your house. I'll tell you what, one thing we've got plenty of in our house, our home, is the Word of God. I believe if they made wallpaper that had the Word of God, I believe Evelyn would put wallpaper of the Word of God all over the house. I'm a firm believer in the Word of God, church. Amen. I mean, it's alive. It's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This thing not only cuts toward you, but it cuts toward me. That's the kind of Word of God that we have today. Hallelujah. I'm glad for it. I'm happy for the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Isaiah 55. My Bible tells me when this Word of God goes forth, it'll not return void. Just like the rain comes down and makes your garden grow, makes the weeds grow, makes the grass grow. Just like the snow comes down. I tell you, in this Word of God, I have the promise tonight, church, that it'll not return void. It'll not come back and smack me in the face. But it'll help you. It'll encourage you. It'll lift you. I'm talking about the Word of God. That's the reason I appreciate this Christian school. Teaching young people, children, stay in the Christian school. I mean to tell you, you'll learn about God, and that's the answer. Learning about the Bible, that's worth everything to me, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible also says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, it talks about that there's going to come a time in the last days about a famine. Not a food or water, but a famine of hearing. Hearing the Word of God. Didn't say nothing about a famine of the Word of God, of hearing the Word of God. Jesus said, if you got an ear, let him hear. Hear that precious Word of God. I'll tell you what this Word will do. It'll put some spring in your step. I mean to tell you, there on the farm, we just got some chickens. I mean, when I was a boy, we had chickens. Well, we got chickens again. And that old rooster, I mean, tell you, every morning, I don't need an alarm clock. That rooster will go off, you know, every morning. And I mean them chickens. I mean, I like them. I like those chickens, and I like the sound of that rooster. I mean to tell you, this Word of God, I give you a walk like a rooster. Amen. I mean, it'll put a song in your heart. I'll tell you, it'll make you love each other. It'll make you help each other and encourage each other. It'll make you pat each other on the back. I'll tell you something else this Word of God will do. You won't murmur and complain so much. You won't find all the bad faults in people. You'll find good things in the lives. I'll tell you what the Word of God will do. It'll bind the church together. Amen, that's what it'll do. It'll make you support your pastor, whether you like him or not. I'll tell you, and I know you like Brother Jarvis now, and I know you like Brother Huff. Oh, you can't beat them. Can you beat Brother Huff and Brother Jarvis? My word, you can't beat good people like that. Brother Huff kind of made it hard on me there for a while for taking Evelyn, but he forgave me there at the end. You can't beat good people. This Word of God, I'll tell you, it'll make you feel good, act good, talk good, and be good. You'll live good. You won't have to have somebody get behind a pulpit and take a club or a baseball bat and take this Word of God and beat you over the head with it and tell you not to do this or that. Talk like this, don't talk like that. He won't have to tell you exactly when to get up and go to bed. This Word of God will straighten you right out with any problem at all. This thing right here. Oh, I'll tell you, when I think about Josiah, I mean, he got down to business when he heard it. How many times have we heard the word of God? Does it lift us? Does it encourage you? Are you motivated just a little bit tonight because there's power? This word of God will clean us up. It'll make us holy, righteous, and clean. This thing has got more power in it than anything. I tell you, oh, you know what? This word of God, it didn't came by a man's interpretation. It came by holy men. Holy men that were moved by the Holy Ghost power of God. And they wrote this thing down. I'm telling you right now, read it. Read it. You know what? Like I said, there's been times in my life that I've neglected. But I want to tell you, every time I did, I found myself getting cold and lazy on God. I found myself wanting to miss church when I quit reading the Word of God. Oh, there's power in this thing. Oh, you don't have to be pumped up, primed up, or pushed up. You just read God's Word, and it'll put a smile on your face and encouragement in your heart if you'll just read God's precious, precious Word. David said in Psalms 119, verse 89, "Oh, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Isaiah 40 and 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." What about the heaven and earth, the Bible says, pass away. But this right there, this old book, it'll stand forever. Men have gave their lives. They've suffered great pain. They was martyred. They were tortured because of this book. And sometimes I wonder, even myself, I'll go to a camp meeting. I'll go to revival, and some of the greatest preachers in the United States will be preaching. And I'll sit there myself like a knot on a log and seem like I just cannot be moved. Just cannot be moved. Sometimes I think maybe we just cannot be moved. And men and women that have gave their lives and shed blood and died when the flame, when they set the wood afar and that flame come up and destroyed their body and they stood for this book. How in the world can I stand here tonight and not be touched and moved by this great book? I'm glad many years ago that I found the book. And I'm so thankful of the precious word of God. And the pages of this great word is Jesus Christ. Oh no, I can't see him tonight. I can't feel him in the flesh like the disciples did. But oh, I can see him and I can feel him through the pages of that book. Hallelujah. That precious book. 1 Peter 1:25, "The word of the Lord endureth forever." Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found." Thy words were found. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Psalms 119, verse 11, "We don't want to sin." David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We get enough word of God in our life, we won't sin. Oh, no, we won't sin. Oh, if we do, if we make mistakes or sin or whatever you want to call it, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But I'll tell you what, we get that word of God just rooted and grounded and just absorbed and just like a sponge, just get absorbed with that good word of God. It'll take us through. Church, we're not going down, we're going up. We're not going to be defeated or whipped or put down or stressed out or burnt out. We're going to make it. Why? Because the word of God burns in our hearts and our lives. We've heard enough word of God to make it, and I believe that we can make it. This word of God is a devouring flame. Jeremiah 5 and 14, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth far, and this people would, and it shall devour them." Oh, I tell you, the word of God is like a crushing hammer. Jeremiah 22, 23 and 29, "Is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I'm talking about a work of the word of the Lord tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37, it talks about the dry bones. You know, they were dead, very big valley full of dead bones. And the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Amen. Amen. Can these bones live? Sometimes I think about America. Can America have a revival again? No, not without the Word of God. Somehow or another, we forgot it. We've lost it. And America will never have an outpouring of a Holy Ghost, real, rich, covering America revival until we find the book. There's not a man, there's not a woman. It don't matter how well he can preach or how educated he is or how smart he is until we get back to the book. Amen. I know I'm right on this. I know I am. Ezekiel 37, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Started preaching to a bunch of bones. I've never done that before. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And pulled a shaking, and bones came together, bone to his bone. They began to shake and begin to move and come together. And then there was a great and mighty army. I'll tell you, in this book is saving power. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. I heard a message one night this week in revival, and he preached on, did Jesus Christ come to save? That's the reason he came. And they can get saved through the listening to the preaching of the word. It don't matter how bad you are. It don't matter what you've done, how bad you've gone, or how evil. You can get saved. You can hear the word of God. It can send conviction. I was reading a few days ago about Manasseh. Not the son of Joseph, but Manasseh the king. How wicked and how evil. I mean, him and Ahab and Manasseh were evil. I mean, they were bad. They were evil. But you know what he did toward the end? Can you believe how evil he was? And he repented and God saved him. Or God heard his prayer and helped him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saving power in this word of God. The word of God is a defensive weapon. Ephesians 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says, train up a child. What will he do? What will he do when he's old? Now, he may depart, but he'll come back. We'll train up a child. But you know what I think about that? The Bible says, train up a child. I don't think he has to depart. But if he does, I believe that word of God will pull him right in. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight a little bit. The word of God purifies the life. Psalms 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. John 17 and 17, one of my favorite scriptures. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I think about Pilate. He asked Jesus, what is truth? Asked Jesus the question, what is truth? And there was the truth looking him right in the face. And Pilate couldn't see it. Word of God is the truth. Ephesians 5 and 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word. The word of God is stand when this world is on fire. Psalms 119, 46. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but this is the way I felt led to go. A lot of scripture tonight. Maybe I'm doing a lot more, maybe teaching more than I am preaching. But this is the way I felt led to go. The word of God will stand forever when everything else fails. They tell me my understanding when Charles Finney, when he preached, 80% of those that were saved under his ministry stayed saved. But it was not the same with D.L. Moody. Those that got saved under his ministry, not as many saved, stayed saved. But Charles Finney, think about that, 80% those that got saved in his ministry stayed saved. The power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll change us. It'll keep us. It'll stand when everything else fails. The United States is the most powerless nation on the world. But it's not a firecracker to the power that we have at our fingertips. There's no reason to be discouraged. No reason to be down. Not at all. When we got life in this book. This is everything to me. There's nothing more precious to me on this life than my wife and daughter. But right here, I'm holding in my hands the most precious thing in my life is this book. Because before I met them, this was my wife. This was my daughter. This was my everything. And it still is. Well, that's what I had tonight. I hope I've encouraged you a little bit. Precious book, God's Word. I got enough verses of Scripture here that I could go on and on and on. But I've got enough sense to know when to stop. But I appreciate the Word of God. How many of us are going to try to read a little more? The pages of this great book. I'll say this and we'll get a song. It's all right. I'll play the piano. And we'll find us a place to pray. I don't think I've held too long tonight. I didn't see Evelyn do that. But anyway, there's nothing more precious than this book. Nothing more precious than this precious book. I'm just trying to wait here just a little bit and see if there's anything else God wants me to say. I think that's it. I think I'm through. One more little sentence that I've written down here. Our salvation is not based on experience or emotion, but our salvation is based, it's founded, it's rooted, and it's grounded in this precious book. I know tonight I don't have anybody shouting or running or jumping or hollering, but I know I've gave you the Word of God, and it'll keep you. I can't keep you. Brother Jarvis can't keep you. If Brother Huff was alive, he couldn't keep you. But his book can keep you. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, it'll keep you. It'll keep you. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. This thing right here is sweeter to me than honey in a honeycomb. I got stung by a wasp. Some people call them wasps and some people call them waspers. But I got stung this week. Big old knot popped on the back of my neck. And I'll tell you what, I haven't moved that fast in a long time. But I'll tell you, the Word of God will wake you up on it when He gets to dealing with you. You know what, sometimes I think maybe that's what we need. Just a good old sting with the Word of God. All right, brother, you better come or I'll get to going again here. Why, he's a-coming. I got a few seconds. They tell me an eagle built its nest on the side of a cliff. You know, have its little eagles there in that nest. He'll take care of them little eagles till they get so old. And after a while, he can see that them little eagles just going to stay in that nest. So he'll come in there and he'll stir it up. He'll stir that nest up. You know what them little eagles do? start rolling off the side of that cliff. So wait a minute here. If we don't start flying, we're going to hit the bottom. When that big old eagle, that mother eagle starts stirring that nest up, them little eagles start coming down the mountain. They start learning how to fly. Sometimes that's what God does in our lives. He comes down and stirs a nest up so we can learn how to fly. Sometimes things happen in our life that we don't have a clue or don't understand why that happens. But it does. I'm just talking to you from my heart. My oldest brother died when he was 64 years old of leukemia. And I had the wonderful privilege for several weeks before he died. He said, "Charlie, would you read me the word again? You tell me that wasn't precious." And I'd read the word of God to my brother. Let's come and pray. There's comfort in this thing. I don't care what you go through with. There's comfort in this book. If somebody is sick, just come right on. If somebody is sick and in pain, I'll tell you what you do. Read to them. And if it don't calm them down, I'd almost eat this book. But you can read to them in their pain and it'll calm them right down. And give them peace and consolation. Let's just come and pray. Come and pray tonight.